88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. If you're a parent or a grandparent or a doting aunt or uncle or a loving guardian of a young kid who loves to read, here's some help finding books for those kids in your life who are good at reading and who are always on the hunt for the next fun book. Kathleen Isaacs has compiled a list of 300 titles she recommends for those kids who are really readaholics. It's called Excellent Books for Early and Eager Readers, and Kathleen Isaacs joins me in the studio. Kathy, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Tom.
So you've been doing a lot of reading. There's 300 books in here, and you've written a little sort of précis about each one. I will admit that the term early and eager to define a young reader is a new one to me. Is that a special class of kid reader?
No, that's a class I made up.
Okay.
I made it up because it covers a broad range, maybe from 4 to 9 or 10. And it's the kind of kid that you always find with her nose in the book or his bag full of books or whatever.
Yeah, because there are some kids who just take to reading easier and better than others.
Yes, there are. And there's some little kids who seem to teach themselves to read, and all of a sudden you turn around and they're reading the signs to you and asking what they mean. And there are bigger kids who don't take to it so fast, but when they do, then they can make that movie in their head and get the story, and they get kind of addicted to it.
Mm-hmm. So these books really then are kind of tailored. I mean, the ones you've chosen here are tailored to those kids who really are big on reading. These are not necessarily the books, although I suppose there could be many of these books that you'd want to use to introduce the reluctant reader to. These are for kids who really are into it.
These are for kids who are really into it. They're the kind of kid who tends to read above their grade level. And so we want to challenge them, but not to give them material that's completely out of their ken. So, and this is quite a challenge, both for parents and for librarians and teachers as well.
Sure, because sometimes if a kid is a good reader, the point you make in this book over and again is that sometimes the subjects are still a little too far advanced. You know, I mean, there's certain things a 4-year-old might actually be able to decipher what the words are, but the meaning and the context could be a little bit too grown up.
They can decode the words always, and they can pronounce them, and they don't know what's underneath. And also, they don't have the same kind of reading background that an older person might have, an older kid or an older adult.
So putting stuff in context is a lot harder for a 6-year-old than it is for a 16-year-old.
Absolutely.
Sure. So you have taught virtually across the spectrum in terms of ages. You've taught little kids. You've taught high school. You've taught college, graduate school. You've coached and mentored teachers. How did you go about coming up with these particular 300 titles?
Well, I asked people. I talked to parents of kids like this, and I talked to school and public librarians and some bookstore people. They gave me suggestions, and they also told me what these kids are reading today, which is really very important.
And it has evolved. It's changed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and what are the trends? What are you seeing in that evolution?
I am seeing more and more books in the first place, and a much wider range. And I think that's one of the things that I was trying to do, was to get a broader range of materials than the classics that are in your head and my head about what we liked to read when we were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe what our kids read.
I mean, you absolutely.
Know, we now have kids who are adults. Mm-hmm. There's certainly been a push for much more diversity in children's literature in the last, I don't know how many years. We date when publishers all of a sudden started waking up to the fact that, it would be good if, people of color could look at books and see kids that look like them. You've included a lot of those in this book, haven't you?
I did that. And yes, it's no longer an all-white world of children's books, and that's a very old article now. But it is a world where you still have to work hard to find books that represent the range of young people that we have in this country today. And so I did, especially in the chapter books, where there is a lot of publishing these days, where people make an effort to have children from all kinds of backgrounds.
Or we've talked to Paula Willey, who's a librarian in Baltimore County, mm-hmm. who comes by occasionally to talk about children's books, and even Carla Hayden from The Pratt,
yes.
who comes by and recommends books. They talk about the importance of series now. So you read one book, and then you just have this expectation that there's going to be 3, 5, 10 more in the series.
You do, and it's part of what kids are looking for. They want a book they can feel comfortable with. And one of the ways you can feel comfortable is if you already know the characters, or you have an expectation for the format, or something else. So in this book, I actually listed sequels up to 5, no more than that, because some of them have 32 or 114.
Yeah. Other examples of, what come to mind about some of the ones that are your real favorites?
Oh, my real favorites. It's very hard. When I was writing this, I was thinking about a book I read, reviewed a few years ago called Kelsey Green, Reading Queen. And Kelsey was one of those third graders who really loves to read. And her school has a contest where you have to read the most books. So she has to go outside her comfort range and read short books instead of long books, which she does, and discovers that she also likes poetry and nonfiction and lots of other things. But she's so relieved at the end because she finds she can go back to the kinds of books that she really likes. And I kept thinking about the Kelsey Greens of the world when I was doing this.
Yeah, so this is for them.
This is absolutely for them.
Because that lifelong love of reading, that spark, has to be sparked early in mm-hmm. most cases. But although if it happens later, then whenever it happens, it's a good thing when it happens. I wonder, is Harry Potter just a complete sort of sui generis, unique thing? I mean, the fact that it was such a phenomenon, it's obviously a series, and what were there, like 8 of those, I think, something like
seven.
That, 7. Has that done anything to raise, lower, or change the bar for literature for young
Absolutely.
Readers?
Absolutely. There is no question that Harry Potter completely changed the picture. The author of Harry Potter, changed what people looked at as appropriate books for children. She absolutely made fantasy possible, and she turned all kinds of kids on to reading. So not every early eager reader is reading Harry Potter, but most of them do. But the feeling of carrying that great big book around says, I'm a reader.
I'm a reader. I'm a grown-up. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Kathy Isaacs, this is a lot of fun and very helpful for parents and teachers. Appreciate you coming by and talking about it.
I love reading books. It's fun. I often read them with my mom. I like reading to explore. There's no better way, I'm sure. I love reading.
Kathleen Isaacs, her very helpful resource is called Excellent Books for Early and Eager Readers. It's published by the American Library Association. We've got a link to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. This is Maryland Morning. You want to hear more from us? We'd certainly love to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter @Maryland Morning, and you can send me a tweet @TomHallWYPR. That's it for us today. Coming up Wednesday, join us for another installment of the Accountability Index, our monthly series of conversations with reporters from the online investigative daily, The Baltimore Brew, plus 2 very imaginative philanthropists, Ruby Lerner and Jane Brown, join me to talk about how artists can transform communities and the ways in which artists can be supported to do the kind of work that only they can do. And Baltimore writer Benjamin Warner will stop by to talk about his new novel, Thirst. That's all coming up Wednesday morning on Maryland Morning. Writer's Almanac is up next. For Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.